Even though we don't need to use verbal language when we communicate, it's still difficult to explain the fourth dimension in a world where language and meanings are structured for only three dimensions. We're talking about a plane that is completely different in its physical constitution from anything you've known up to this time. This is the spiritual plane. It's where your spirit goes when you die. Here is where you meet God as an energetic force. It's almost like being high on drugs. Is astral projection the same as being dead? In a way, yes. It's a similar phenomena, but your physical body is still alive. There's a link between your soul and body, your silver cord. With astral projection, you may discover new worlds and new experiences. But the plane we're referring to as the fourth dimension is something like a bridge between the physical five-sense world and entities composed of different kinds of matter and energy. I see. You're saying there are certain types of humanity existing in this dimension that have other senses and features different than we or you may have. Exactly. The universe is so big that even we don't know what's out there. That's why you're having difficulty explaining the fourth dimension. In your world, lots of people have experienced some kind of unexplainable event at one time or another. An event that involved a miracle or supernatural happening. These are manifestations of the fourth dimension, which can be perceived only by your spirit. The frequencies of energy present on his plane, and in the third force, which organizes the atom, anunnas and anionites, can't be seen with the naked eye. Modern science has named this phenomena quarks. There are people here on Earth who can perceive, they must have a sixth sense, a third eye. Right. They're able to see through walls, stone, even the interior of the human organism. In the fourth dimension, you can clearly see and sense all of the matter and energy that surrounds you. On this plane there are many forms of intelligence, not only human, but also in the form of spirits. These are your spiritual guides in the universe. Or you could call them angels, patron saints. They're at a superior level because they've abandoned a human body or any link with material life. When you astral travel now, you only take part of your consciousness to that plane of the fourth dimension, because you're afraid, or because there's something stronger holding you in this world. Remember when you told me that your spirit rushed back to your body when you saw the magazine with a picture of the Pope? That was a good example of it. Your reaction distorted the micro frequency, causing your body to take that little jump. Today, we're going to try something new and even more exciting. Got up, walked to the edge of the hill and picked up a few stones and rocks that were lying around. She examined each one, throwing some aside, carrying others in her hands. She came over to where I sat and put the rocks down between us. These rocks are known as Galena stones. They absorb the sound of radio waves. Here, in this part of the world, we can catch any radio station in the world. Before we start, though, I want you to relax and concentrate. Your body is going to be like an antenna to these radio frequencies in the air now. Hold this stone in your hand, and take this other one and put it next to your head. What's your favorite radio station? I have several in many places in the world: KFAKFM in Los Angeles, WABKM in New York, Radio Luxembourg, Panamericana in Lima, KRLA in Pasadena. Never mind. What I wanted to know was something else. Here, shift your head towards the north a little, okay? Now, don't move, just concentrate on this. She placed my keys on top of a rock, and told me to follow the reflection of the light, just as if I were beginning my astral projection exercises. This time, however, I was to keep my eyes open and relax to the point of feeling the vibration of the stones. My body was to be the radio receiver of some radio station in the world. I argued that this would be a physical impossibility because in Lima alone there are so many stations it was hard to get a clear reception. She told me to shut up and if I found a familiar tune, voice or melody, to follow it, just as I had followed the ray of light when I was astral traveling. I must have been there for more than an hour, trying to relax and feel something. Rama just sat there looking through my books. Seeing that nothing was happening, she came over to me and started massaging the back of my neck and the sides of my head. When I had astral traveled, I knew what to look for, but this was a new experience. Now I was supposed to be sensing the electromagnetic waves of radio broadcasting. I lay there a while longer, still concentrating on the light reflections produced by my keys on the rock. Then I heard something like voices in the distance. I had a familiar sensation as my soul left my body. It was then I recognized the music, Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, full and rich. I couldn't feel my body nor see anything, but my whole being seemed to merge with the music and become part of that vibratory wavelength that surrounded me. The clear pitch of the instruments and the sounds of the percussion were like a vehicle of ecstasy for my soul. When the music finished, I heard the voice of a disc jockey, speaking in some Germanic language. I still had no sensation of my body or my eyes, everything was pure, all-encompassing sound. The melodic theme began to shift, flowing into a completely different kind of music, like something you might hear in a supermarket. I began to feel as if my whole soul were stretching into infinity as it followed the impulse of the sounds. Then I was flying in space, moving at a great speed one moment, then slowing down or ascending and descending. I had no conception of time, but at some point during this process, I became aware of space and distance. I was very far away from the Earth. A big sphere was in front of me, my perception of it was that of a huge person looking at the terrestrial globe suspended in the universe. All was movement and sound. The sound waves were on an even frequency, something I'd never heard before. It reminded me of a telephone dial tone, but its evenness came out of a conglomeration of millions and millions of combined, yet independent, sounds or units of sound. The movement was also even. I could see the clouds surrounding the planet and the European continent coming into view. The sun shining upon the Mediterranean Sea made Italy's boot-like shape kicking down on the island of Sicily look different from any conception I'd ever gotten from looking at a map. The blue part of the planet, what we know as the sky, was not blue, but greenish-yellow. I could see the moon, but my vision scope was not that of having two physiological eyes, more as though sight was something all around me. At times my perception would be pulled by a powerful amount of light, as if I were looking at the sun with my naked eye, right in the middle of the day. This light was so bright that I tried to avoid it. But I had no hands to cover my eyes with, nor any eyelids to close. As soon as the light hit me, I felt myself being pulled by its magnetic forces. I was one unit of energy in the great mass of energy producing that light, I was part of it. Merging into the light energy was like passing through a solid wall. Upon entering it, I felt everything downshift, slowing as new density emerged, heavier than the other. As I hit this atmosphere, the music all around me became more vivid and dramatic. It was a commercial, in Spanish, extolling the virtues of one of the best-known colas on this planet. The station identification told me I was tuned into some major Caribbean television station. My awareness also shifted in the changed density. I began to see specific areas on the planet. I saw vegetation on the ground, then some high mountains. I realized I was over the Peruvian jungle, just about to come in contact with the Andes Mountains. I slowed down even more, almost to the point of being suspended in the air. I looked west, beyond the mountains, and saw the circle of sun almost at eye level, meaning that sunset was not too far away. I wanted to get back into my body, but didn't have the command to do it. I was about to freak out, when I heard Rama's voice inside my head, saying, "Keep going straight. Slowly. Follow the sunset just as you follow it when you go into that self-trance that precedes astral projection." It was a great relief knowing Rama was with me. If I needed help getting back into my body, she was there. I heard her voice again, saying, "I want you to be aware that your eyes and your physical body are open, and when you get back to it, you'll be staring at the sun. Start moving your body little by little. I don't know how long I'd been back in my body when I became aware of Rama removing the Galena stones from my fingers. It was 10 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. We had started at about 10 or 11 that morning. I was exhausted and hungry, but eager to know what had happened to me that day. Wow, Rama, that was some experience. You got a little touch of the fourth dimension, Chacho. The music was incredible. Like the universe's version of quadraphonic sound. Your whole being was in tune with the electromagnetic waves of the radio and television broadcastings. I went around the Earth several times. You were tuned into the weather satellites, with the magnetic waves out in space. Your consciousness was perceiving the same thing as the television cameras inside those satellites. It was the same principle in operation as when you saw the magazine at the office. I felt like I was out there. You were out there. While I stayed here with your physical body the whole day, watching over you. Wasn't that good of me? Thanks, Rama. You keep handing me the most beautiful experiences of my life. This is only the beginning. Just a little taste. It's every bit as easy as astral traveling, and far better when you do it with your eyes open as you did today. Why is it better? Because your scope of perception expands through the added dimension of sight and can catch more of the cosmic forces. You're more aware of light, which means your spirit has more attractional forces working on it. That enables it to travel freely in the cosmos. I don't understand it, but it was a fabulous experience. That must be what is meant by a natural high. Tomorrow, I'll have another little gift for you. And this one you're going to like even more because you will get in touch with other intelligences through the common ground of the fourth dimension. I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of experience. Don't forget, I'm still at an experimental point. Oh, come on, Chacho. You're such a spoiled baby. Of course you're ready. Perhaps not tomorrow or the day after, but with the proper drilling and practice, you'll be able to travel to lots of places within the universe. Rama, I'm getting hungry and there's a phone call I have to make to my people in Lima. I want to find out what they've decided as far as my returning to the United States. Would you mind very much driving to Huancayo with me so I can place the call? Not at all. Let's go. We arrived in Huancayo a little past 6, and had supper at the Ristorante Olimpico. Afterwards we drove to the phone company to call Lima. I thought it was somewhat ironic, having found the secret of astral projection and tuning into the electromagnetic waves of radio and television broadcasting, that I still had to use a telephone to get information about my flight from a computer's memory banks, when in theory, I could obtain it by tuning into the computer. By 7:30 that evening I had been informed that I was booked on Air Panama flight number 102, leaving Lima at 7 o'clock Sunday morning, September 29, arriving in Miami, Florida, at 4:30 that same afternoon. The end of the message said, "Be certain you are on that flight since your people in Miami are leaving town on Monday." I was a little sad to receive this news, because I knew it was goodbye time with Rama. I had grown to love this space lady as I never believed I could. She was waiting in the car for me when I returned. As soon as I got into the car, she said, "I think it's best you return to the United States on Sunday. I guess that means you already know I must be in Miami on Sunday at the latest. I have a meeting with my Peruvian partners. Chacho, on October 3rd some event will happen here. I don't think it's going to be too pleasant. Uh-oh, I know what is going to happen again. I read in the paper the other day that President Juan Velasco Alvarado is going to have the people come out into the streets. October 3rd is the anniversary date of his revolution, and of his taking office as the president of the military junta of Peru. I bet there will be disturbances, like newspapers being burned and people fighting in the streets. You're right, I think I better split the scene before somebody changes his mind and calls to tell me to stay and cover this one." Rama said she would be going to the southern part of Peru with some of her brothers. "We'll be conducting some mining and geological studies." We were both silent on the drive back to Acaya. I didn't know what to say to her. One thing still bothered me. I had never been able to see Rama's flying horses at close range, and this might be my last opportunity. At the present time, I had no incentive to return to the United States. During my absence, sometime around the middle of July, the friend I had been living with in Beverly Hills had married someone else. Rama, sensing my feelings as usual, said, "What's the matter, big international playboy? You look so forlorn." "I don't know," I said, "it's just that I've gotten used to these sessions with you, and now that we've finished everything in the outline, I guess it's time to say goodbye. That always puts me in this type of mood. I'm sorry if I'm rotten company, Rama, but I wish I didn't have to go back so soon. Would you like to return soon?" "That would be super, but I don't think I'll be able to. I don't mean to be negative, but life is very disappointing at times. I came to Peru this time to play my last card, this was going to be it. Had I succeeded, I could have been a hero. But as you've seen, every effort I've made to deal with the Peruvian government has turned to disaster. Since I've been astral traveling, I've become convinced that one organization is behind this whole number. They're big and powerful, and I really can't do anything to influence the situation one way or another. Nor do I have the tools to fight them. I think it is this company that is causing most of the problems in the world, not only in Peru, but in many other nations as well. My mother's words are coming back to me. She often said that life on this planet is controlled at one large conference table. Since I've been taking my spirit out of my body, it has become clear to me that she was right. I can feel the consequences of the manipulation exercised by this company. That's what happens to you for working for the beast."
"The beast?"
I sputtered, shocked by her words. "Yes, you've been working for the beast. I don't understand. You're working for people who have no scruples. They don't care whose throats they have to cut in order to accomplish their mission. You should understand that business is business. I don't see any way I'm going to get through to you on this subject, so why don't we just drop it? Tell me, what are your plans for the next 2 years?" "Well, I'm returning to the United States to attend to my personal business. I know that as soon as I set foot in Los Angeles, I'm going to be arrested for not keeping my July 15th court appearance. As far as work is concerned, I imagine there'll be a motion picture being filmed somewhere. I'll find work. If nothing's happening in Hollywood, I can always go with some European production, as I have in the past. In the meantime, I'll start researching all the material for the book, to get me to the point of making credible the things you told me here, along with my own experiences. If I find it making sense, I'll start writing that book. But at this moment, the whole idea still seems far-fetched. I'll need further verification before I embark on such an ambitious chore."
"Chicho, you promised Yacht would do it.
And I will, if my research checks out. I'm 100% sure you're not faking, but my research must corroborate this conviction. I know your financial status is tenuous, but that's not a valid reason for not taking these 2 years off and financing them yourself. There will be odd jobs along the way that will help you along while you're taking the time to do this for us. Look, I'd like to do it, but I'm sick and tired of putting money and effort into something that won't support my way of life. You have to realize that this is because of the many disappointments I've experienced over the past few years. I don't count on anything unless I can see it in my hands in the form of a contract or a signed check. Your negative attitude is understandable. You need clarity of thought to accomplish what you set your mind to do. Let me give you an example. You want to have a motion picture released here in Peru. You build up your hopes, and you're gung-ho on the idea for a while. Then something happens and boom, the whole thing fails. You're left with nothing. What you're telling me is that in order for you not to suffer, you must have a successful project. I sincerely hope your project is a success, but there's one hidden thing that tells you that it's not going to work out well in the end. So in order not to be crushed by disappointment, you say, "I knew it wasn't going to work anyway." Now let me tell you, Chicho,
This is definitely the wrong attitude to take. Remember when we talked about prayer? What about it? We used an analogy about a penthouse in Rome. You said that when we pray, we must make clear mental images of the things we would like to do or be doing. Let's give that a more practical use. Don't tell me your wish. Instead, make some mental images of the sort of thing you'd like to have as far as writing this book. Something that would make you happy and wouldn't harm others in any way. I started thinking I'd like to go back to the United States, finish my Peruvian business, and have plenty of time to research all the things I'd learned with Rama. Rama said, in order to accomplish what you've just thought, you have to have some shape and form to your thoughts. Talk is cheap. It's something like picturing yourself in a realistic situation with people you're going to be dealing with the setup, whether it's an office, a library, a movie studio, in what city, the kind of clothes you'll be wearing, if it's cold or warm out. In other words, there has to be movement, shape and color to your mental images. They must be alive in your mind. When you do this, you'll be projecting ananas and anionites into space, into the fourth dimension. At some given point, a benign frequency will pick up your vibrations and spray them with that magic spray we call the thought materializer. You make it sound so easy, but it seems to me you don't really know how bad it is out there in that world of mine. There's very little room for spiritualism in the major cities of this planet. I never said it was easy to make your dreams come true. It takes a great deal of effort. According to all the ancient religions, material things aren't important because you can't take those things with you to the next plane in life. Only the wisdom and understanding you gain in life, that leads to eternal life, matters. Let's picture you driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike at 95 miles per hour. You go off the road and are killed. What would happen to all the possessions that you have? I guess if there were no one to claim them, they'd go to the Internal Revenue Service. If you really want to cultivate your spirit, you must abandon all the material things that have no spiritual meaning or value for you. When we spoke about your writing this little book of ours, you weren't ready to think seriously about cultivating your spirit. But I think you've now evolved to the point of being able to understand, especially now that you're gaining more knowledge and practicing your spiritual activities. What do you mean by practicing my spiritual activities? Astral projection is, in itself, a preparation for death. What went on today? The leaving of your body was an exact replica of the experience of death. You had no physical body to feel the actual process of death. You had no conception of time or space. Your spirit left the body at an even frequency. If you'd died, you would have passed to the spiritual plane without suffering. 6 months ago, had you been hit by a truck in New York and been killed, your spirit would be wandering all over the place, scattered. If by some chance you could have collected 100% of your ananas and anionites, they would have rushed to a body that was being eaten by worms. Your physical structure would be alive again, but a monstrous thing. So you die again and go through that all over again. It might have taken your soul from 400 to 1000 years to finally accept that it no longer had a physical body. That's hell, if we want to accept the idea of punishment for the spirit. Christ says, take care of your clothes, wash them and be prepared. This symbolizes the preparation of the soul to pass to another plane of existence. Is that what it means in Revelation 16:15 when it says, behold I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments lest he walk naked, and they see his shame? That is telling you that the only thing humanity should really be concerned with is the cultivation of their spirits, because that's the only way they're going to find true eternal life. Rama, I'd like to continue my spiritual practices, even if it means giving up my apartment in Beverly Hills and all the nice things in life. But I have a feeling that as soon as I get back to my old ways I'll forget about these experiences and it'll be just one of those things we talk about at parties or the local pub. Something to have a big laugh about. I just don't think there's any room for spiritualism in this world nowadays. That's what usually happens. but I think you'll see there is more to life than just survival and acquiring material things. When I mentioned sacrifice, I didn't mean you should abandon everything and become a guru or hermit. You can still live in this world of yours and continue practicing the teaching of Christ. I think I'm going to start making some mental images of what I would like to be doing in the next few months. What's that? I'm going to start praying that I will return to Peru so we can have more sessions like the ones we've been having. Tell me what you would do as an initial step for your dreams to come true. I'll picture talking to my people in New York about coming back to Peru, in spite of the political situation this country is facing at the moment. I'll talk to the people who are responsible for not having my picture released here, and make another effort to have it shown in Peru. I'll make my images clear, with shapes, color, and movement. I'll act in good faith and keep all my activities on a professional level, so I don't hurt anyone. Sounds good, Chicho. If it works, you have my assurance, Rama, that I'll do everything within my power to have this book of yours published, no matter what. Would you give up your sports car and apartment? If everything works out as you said it would, yes, I will. Even if people call you crazy, make fun of you, and ridicule you in public for having written such things? I think the things you and I have spoken about are well worth sharing with my fellow human beings, at least those like myself who are willing to do a little work to find out the truth for themselves. If you proceed with a clear mind and a healthy attitude, I give my outer space word that your dreams and wishes will come true. Remember this, when you get to the point of actually believing that what occurred a few months before was at one time nothing but a dream, then you can openly say it is the answer to a prayer. But you have to be sincere with yourself before you and be sincere with anyone else. Rama, it shall be done. I don't have any commitments at the moment. I'll take the challenge of putting aside 2 years of my life to do this little project. Let me warn you again that it's not going to be easy. You'll encounter many problems, tribulations and tests. There'll be times when you'll be tempted to forget the whole thing. When that happens, I very humbly ask you to think of me, because I'll be with you in spirit, giving you all the support you need to accomplish this task. There'll be times when you'll feel depressed and be tempted by evil forces to take a meaningless job instead of wasting your precious time on something as flimsy and meaningless as writing some stupid book about UFOs. Are these things really in my future, or are they just examples of what might happen? I'm using my fourth dimensional powers to see what is lying down the road for you. I sense your sincerity. I know you want to accept this challenge. But at the same time, I also know you are a strong, inquisitive character who can do the job. If you want to send out a couple of vibrations as a prayer to be answered, you know the rules. By the time we'd finished this conversation, we were already at the medicinal waters. Since we were both tired, we decided to go to bed as soon as we got out of the pool. The next morning, Thursday, September 26, 1974, I woke up very early. Rama had already left, couldn't go back to sleep, so I got up and went to the bathhouse. Rama was just going into the water. It was still dark outside, we could hardly see one another in the room. Rama suggested it would be a great experience to take a little trip this early in the morning, before my spirit absorbed the kind of magnetic charges that would prevent me from seeing or hearing other spirits out in the cosmos, outside the atmosphere of our planet. In preparation for this early hour astral travel, she began explaining its connection between the spiritual activity known as dreaming. Astral projection is one of the easiest faculties a person can develop, she said. Each night, every person gets a manifestation of this during the common dream, when the person's soul leaves the body and just wanders around in space. This is such an everyday experience that people think nothing of doing it. But when it happens in a controlled manner, we call it astral travel. This morning we were going to repeat the same trip we took the day before, but my body was going to be free of any magnets or magnetic stones that would orient the waves of my spirit's energy. Before I took off my clothes, Rama suggested that I go to the car and bring in my cassette recorder so we could record any sounds that came out of my mouth. When I returned with the recorder, I set it on the bench and jumped into the water. The carbonation and warmth accentuated my sleepiness as I tried to concentrate.